Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
We are in week two of what will be a seven-part kind of collection of talks, all based around spiritual gifts. It's a series that we've called Gifted. And it's my hope, our hope as a church, that as we learn about the gifts of the Spirit, spend time thinking about and talking about the talents, the gifts that God has placed onto your life, that you will begin to walk in greater confidence and with greater purpose in the divine plan that God has for you. And I just want to start and say, do you know that? Do you know that God has got some incredible things He wants to do through you and your life? If you are living and breathing the same air as the rest of us, if you love God and if you want the will of God for your life, well, there is great purpose on your life. There is no exception to that. There is nobody here that would fall through the cracks and somehow that not be applicable to them. If you love Jesus, there is great purpose on your life. We're told this very clearly in Romans, where it says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So, you could have come from a palace or a slum. You could have been the teacher's pet or just caused your teacher's dread. If you're willing to hand over your life to Him, whoever you are, there is now a great purpose on your life here on this earth. Your life is not an add-on to God's plan that He somehow worked you into. You are vitally important. You are a vitally important part of the body of Christ, which we know as the church. The question that has been given to me to preach to today is, what are spiritual gifts for? Isaac spoke last week to the question of what are spiritual gifts, and I really encourage you to go back and listen to that if you haven't already. And this week, we're looking at what are they for? And straight off the bat, I want to propose an answer to this. And that is very simply that the spiritual gifts that God has given you are to be used to fulfill the purpose that God has placed onto your life. That's it. That's where I've landed. And I want to spend the next few moments this morning just unpacking why I've come to this conclusion and believe that to be true. That spiritual gifts are the tools that God has entrusted you with in order to fulfill the great purpose that He has on your life. And as Christ followers, our purpose is more or less the same, right? Our purpose as Jesus followers, spoiler alert, is to follow Jesus. And thankfully, Jesus was pretty clear on what this would look like. And we find this given to us in what we call the Great Commission, which can be found in the book of Matthew, which says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so in other words, Jesus says, go and build my church so that more people can have a reconciled relationship with their Heavenly Father. So if spiritual gifts are given to us to fulfill our purpose, and our purpose is to build the church, well, what might that look like? Well, I believe that's the question that our scripture for today gives us some clarity on, and I'd love to take a look at it now. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be starting in verse 12 as well. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body it would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the most honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among all the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, then those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And we'll leave it there. You know, what we've just read really is an expertly written sermon analogy already, and Paul's used it to teach us about our uniquity, our uniqueness in the body of Christ. Before we began reading our scripture, I shared what I believe to be a corporate or shared purpose that us as Jesus followers have, to build the church and to help others. But within this passage, Paul breaks down that as we endeavor to fulfill the purpose together, the parts in which each of us play in doing so will not be the same, but rather unique to each of us as our Creator has gifted us in different ways. It's something I love to think about, and I wonder if it's something that somebody here needs to hear today. That your uniqueness, your differences are not weakness, are not a mistake, but they are gifts given to you by God to fulfill His purpose on your life. And so there is strength in your differences. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And in the NLT translation, it says it like this. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. You are God's handiwork, expertly crafted, wonderfully made. We can look to his mountains and we'll see their incredible beauty and design. We can look to the rivers and to the sea. We look up to the stars and the solar system and we marvel at the complexity of how just everything just works perfectly together, even just to create the right conditions for life on this planet. We marvel at it because it's something that can be marveled at. It's incredible. And God made it all. It's his design. It's his handiwork. But hear this, so are you. And do you know what God says about you? Even after creating all of that beauty, orchestrating all of that delicate work, he said that you're the creation he's most interested in. And James, in his New Testament book, says this about what God thinks of us. He says, we out of all creation became his prized possession. Just somehow believe that somebody might need to hear that today. You are God's prized possession. He has a great care for you, a great interest in you. And part of his great care for you, part of his interest in you is giving you a purpose. You know, you can go to any psychologist, counselor, mental health professional, life coach. I reckon they'll all tell you of the great importance to have something in your life that gives you purpose. And when God made you, he made you in beautiful uniquity and wonderfully designed to fulfill a great purpose, to be a part of building his church. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's prized possession. Out of his kindness, there is great purpose set out for your life. And alongside that great purpose, he is more than able to put in your hand everything you need to fulfill that purpose. But that is a corporate purpose, a shared purpose. And that's something that the writer of our scripture today wanted to stress to the Corinthians in our passage. But it's also a wider theme throughout scripture. Because I think as you turn through the pages of the Bible, you'll find that God has never promoted the building of an individual's empire. The scriptures and the gospels, they've never asked us to go and build platforms for our own sake so that we might get ahead ourselves. The scripture never says, you know, build your wealth to this point so that then you can begin to help others with what you've achieved. Scriptures say, follow me. Scripture says, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel to walk through the eye of a needle. See, the kingdom of heaven is not about personal progress or self-promotion. It's about others. It's about helping those that need help. It's about building his church. It's about following Jesus Christ and what he asks of us. And that might mean, it might look like building a large business. It might look like you being in a position of influence, but your purpose from the very outset will be helping others. And individualism was never meant to make its way into the Christian church. It was never meant to be a part of the, it was never a part of the message of Jesus Christ. His message was the complete opposite. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. He said, lay down your life and you will find it. And so it's no surprise then that your gifts were not given to you for the betterment of just your own life. Those gifts, those talents were not given to you for your own influence, your own platform, your own desires. They were given to you to help people, to love others, to glorify God, and to build his church. Amen? You're uniquely, wonderfully, complexly made to fulfill a great purpose with eternal significance. A purpose never meant to be fulfilled in isolation, but in community. Unique giftings, corporate purpose. Each part of the body playing their part for the good of the church. Each part playing their part. Now, that begs the question, doesn't it? How are we to know the part that we individually are called to play in God's purpose? And I want to expand on this a little, and I want to use a story to do so. I've actually wrestled a little bit about what I want to share next, because I'm very aware that I'm in an extremely privileged position. I never want to get up here and skite or boast about what I have, because I know not everyone will be able to do this, but I think it'll help us with where we're heading. I was recently in, as I say, a very privileged position to be able to go in with a couple of my mates to buy a fishing boat. And we love to get out on the water when we can, and so we saved our pennies and we were able to score a really good deal on a wee vessel. This won't mean anything to you if you're not into boats yourself, but we managed to get a Condor 3000 model. And we were just stoked to be able to go in on this thing together. I've actually brought a photo in with me to show you what it looks like. If you're listening on the podcast, that's a warehouse dinghy on the screen. Hey, but I'm being completely serious. This was a new purchase of ours, and we were desperate to get it out on the water. So what a better opportunity than a mate's birthday to chuck the Condor in the boot and take her up to the lake for her maiden voyage. Now, we launched from the shores of Kenlock with a speaker for music on board and a couple of snacks with us. Just on that note, actually, I can just warn you, we took super wines. Not a good idea when the lake water gets into the boat. Just ended up with a lot of hosing out at the end of the day. So stay away from the soft biscuit variety if you're planning a trip like this. But anyways, our plan was to set out from Kinloch and sort of just head a wee bit around the lake to this wee cove that has a bit of a jumping rock in it. And we'd scored a beautiful day. The sun was shining and we didn't notice too much winds either. And we had absolutely no idea how long this trip around to this wee cove would take us, given our chosen mode of transport. But we were actually quite pleasantly surprised by this, because it only ended up taking us sort of an easy 45 minutes or thereabout. It was pretty easy sailing too, which was a real bonus. And because the weather was so beautiful and because the trip over had been a relatively easy one, we figured we had some time to stick around for a while in this wee cove and enjoy ourselves, and that we did. But of course, I wouldn't tell this story if there weren't a turning point somewhere. And here's where it begins to turn. We finally decide we're getting a little bit hungry. We've had enough and we want to head home. And so we set off in our wee dinghy, ready for the journey back. But very quickly, we notice something that we hadn't noticed on the way over. Wind. Now, how many know in this situation, wind can be your best friend or your fiercest enemy? And unfortunately, this time around, it was proven to be the latter. Now, I don't think necessarily that this wind had just suddenly arrived out of nowhere. I think this wind had probably been present on our way over too. But we'd begun to notice this wind now because of the direction that we were traveling in. See, what must have been a helpful tailwind on our way over was now an aggressive headwind on our way back. So the wind was now creating a counteracting force against our efforts on the paddles. What had helped us on the way over was now hindering us on our return. So what was a 45-minute trip to get to, we now realized was going to be a much longer trip on our return. But don't worry, because thankfully, about an hour in, a very kind family on their actual fishing vessel came past and they offered us a ride, and they were very, very kind to do so. But of course, being Kiwi boys, we had far too much pride for that, so we carried on. And yet another hour and a half later, we finally reached the shore just in time for the sun to disappear. Fair to say we were knackered by the time we got back. Total of 2.5 hours of paddling a rubber dinghy into the wind. Now, bear with me. I promise the story has some sort of relevance to what we're speaking on today. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but throughout Scripture, there are many ways that the movement of the Holy Spirit is described to be like. In Luke, at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit is talked about coming in the form of a dove. It says that the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came down from heaven. In Isaiah, Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a fire. It says he will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. In 1 Samuel, we hear about the Holy Spirit moving through anointing oil. It says Samuel took the horn of oil and appointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. But in Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the first time in Scripture that the Holy Spirit came and dwelt inside of his believers, it says this, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. He came like the blowing of a violent wind. And so why do I mention this? Well, I think this characteristic of the Holy Spirit coming like a mighty wind is helpful to us in understanding how God might lead us with his Spirit and how he might come and use the gifts he's given us to achieve his purpose. See, if the Holy Spirit will come in the form of a wind, what I learned that day on the lake might also be relevant to the context of our faith. That the very wind that will allow you to travel forward into your calling can be the same wind that can be that creates a counteracting force against your efforts. And you're saying, well, why would the Holy Spirit ever want to hinder me in my efforts? Why would he want to slow me down or make me work harder? Well, I believe this to be one of the many ways that the Holy Spirit might choose to guide us as we seek his will for our lives. And I think that when strong winds come our way and we find ourselves pushing against a storm, we can so quickly jump to the conclusion that the enemy is interfering in our situation. Jump to the conclusion that we are facing a spiritual attack. And I certainly don't want to belittle the enemy here. He is more than capable of doing such a thing. But I also believe it possible that when we're facing a strong wind, sometimes what we're really facing is the corrective force of the Holy Spirit. That what we've been doing is trying to paddle in a direction that the Holy Spirit has never asked of us to travel in the first place. And we're facing a headwind, as the Holy Spirit so kindly asks us to correct our course. Our scripture today outlines how your gifting is unique. It's not cookie cutter, and that's by design. Paul used the analogy of the body to show that while we share the unified purpose of building the church and helping others, we're gifted and designed to do so in different ways. Verse 18 said, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it." This is, how strange a body would it be if it had only one part? The passage, it stresses the importance of each part playing their part. And I wonder if the author has had to teach this to the Corinthians, because many of them, like I believe many of us can do also, we're trying to use our gifts and abilities in a way that God has not set out for us. And so if you're after an example of when we might experience this corrective force of the Holy Spirit, I would submit to you that often the wind of the Spirit will bring about a course correction when we're trying to play the part of something we weren't designed or ever asked to be a part of. And maybe we haven't tried to do so out of wrong intent or sinful heart, but maybe we've done this because that's just how we've seen it done before. You know, the only ministry that we've seen modeled to us is preaching, so that must be how ministry will look like for me. Or you've got a friend and they're absolutely smashing it in their calling, so you think this must be the way it has to be done. But I put to you today that you are not designed to the same specifications as your neighbor, and therefore your giftings might not serve the same mission that God has placed onto their heart. Like a foot trying to hear would be ineffective, we will be ineffective trying to fulfill what God has gifted somebody else to do. There's something so beautiful that can be done through your life. And when you submit to the plan that God has for you, the Holy Spirit will come and take your offering to do something incredible in his kingdom. So work hard not to paddle against his will for you. Don't try and work up the muster to sail in the direction he has never set out for you. Put up your sail and let him be the wind that drives you forward into his good plans. There may be others heading in that direction. They're not necessarily heading in the wrong direction. God's just given them the right tools, the right equipment for that job. You're unique. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. So put up your sail and get yourself a Holy Ghost back in on your life. A far more eloquent preacher than me put it like this. He said, if you are trying to do something in your strength that you are not supposed to do in God's sovereignty, he won't support it. The Holy Spirit will only support what the voice of the Lord orders. That means God will not help you be more like the person you are comparing yourself to. God will not help you reach the goal of someone who has different gifts from you. So part of our wisdom is knowing that we're not supposed to do, is knowing what we're not supposed to do so that we're not expecting God to be helping us in something that we're not even supposed to be doing. This is a valuable lesson that I've been learning in leadership. You know, I could try to do something I'm not overly gifted in, and it might take me an hour and would still end up with the AliExpress or the Temu or budget brand version. Or I could find someone with the correct gifting required, and they'll do it in 10 minutes, produce exactly what's needed, and even more so, they'll get a thrill out of doing it. And this is not to say that it won't be hard yakka when you do the Lord's work. It's not to say that we should just give up when the going gets tough. Of course it will be hard work. It won't always be smooth sailing. You'll come up against a couple of storms. But when the Holy Spirit is working through your gifts, when his anointing is on your offering to him, you can be certain that when you do, you'll have what you need for the task. And you'll have the strength of the Spirit to back you and to overcome that storm. Put up your sail and surrender back the gifts God's given to you to the will of God. Let his wind drive you forward into his purpose. Don't tire yourself out living in someone else's calling. But of course, if we're not to operate in other people's callings and giftings, it begs the question, doesn't it? How do we know what God would have us do with the gifts he's given to us? And maybe I'm going to say something quite ineloquent here, but I wonder, is it too simplistic to say that maybe trial and error is kind of okay in this scenario? I don't know that it is, because I don't think that the course-correcting nature of the Spirit is something to be feared. In fact, it's something that I thank God for all the time. And Isaac preached a brilliant message last week, and he talked about those things in your life that just feel like Christmas morning when you do them. Not necessarily easy things, but things that when you get to do them, you just feel immensely privileged to get to take part in them. They come with a sort of passionate excitement. And when we're looking to find the giftings of God in our life, I think we ought to take those passions and those talents that we have and ask God, is there a way in which I can use this to glorify your name and to build your church? And if you think the answer is yes, then why not go ahead and give it a crack? Sometimes that might be met with closed doors and resounding no's, and that's okay. Be open to hearing that. Have humility in that moment. But other times, the anointing of God's Spirit might come upon your offering in a mighty way. And when it does, you'll set off on a mission to help others with what you have and take up your part in building the church. I remember sitting on a quad bike one day while I was in my previous job as a shepherd. And I realized that I'd been spending a whole lot of lot more time that day thinking about the things I was involved with in church ministry than I had about the farming that I was doing in the moment. My mind had been wandering into thinking about different ways we could do worship ministry. And at the time, I just started to be offered preaching opportunities. And it felt like all day my thoughts were consumed by thinking about different ways I might be able to present the word. And every time I would, you know, make the trip in from the farm to serve at church, it would just feel like Christmas morning. I'd be excited about it. And so, though church ministry had never been on my 10-year plan or even my 50-year plan, I began to wonder if what God had put in my hands would be more effective in his house of worship. And so all I did was allow it to be a thought. I offered the possibility to God. And then over the next few months, there would be doors opened, there would be opportunities provided, prophetic words would be given, and my heart for the church would just grow stronger and stronger. And eventually, I realized what I believed to be a calling on my life, somewhere where God had asked me to go. And so, no, I don't think it's too simplistic to say that we can use trial and error in offering our gifts to God. I think all he really wants of us is for us to offer back to him what he's given to us. And through his timing, through his development, he'll lead us into the spaces that he needs us. Now, is there part of me that would have liked God to have illuminated where he'd have me go for this season a little quicker so I wouldn't have gone and gotten a full degree in something else? Absolutely. But has God used every one of those years and countless of the situations that those years put me through to prepare me for where I am now, to grow me into the man of God he needed me to be in the place that he has me in now? 1,000%. So what does it look like to put up your sail and offer God your giftings? It looks like starting. Saying, God, I think there might be something in this gifting I have that could be used for your glory. And so I'm just going to step out into it. Would you send me some correction if I have this wrong? If this is not something that you would have for me, would you make that clear to me? And I think it's moments like this where we lay down all of our passions, all of our desires, and offer them to God's will and not our own, that we learn further the voice of God. That was certainly the case for me. And the more I sought after his guidance, the more I grew in my understanding of his leading. I'm believing for more moments like that in my story. But I'm also doing my best not to forget God's provision and guidance at that point in time. Because it's those prophetic words, those promises that I believe God made to me at that time that I can look back on when my confidence and my calling is lacking. It's those moments in big empty paddocks where God invaded my thoughts and gave me the dreams that he did. They are the moments I'll look back on to be reassured of my unique giftings to fulfill a divine purpose. And it's important that you too don't forget those moments where God comes and speaks to you. Because when you've worked out how you can use your gifts to be an effective part of the body of Christ, when God places his anointing on your gift, puts some wind into your sails, you have suddenly become very dangerous to the devil and his schemes. Because when you invite the Holy Spirit to come and work through the things God's put in your hands, miracles can start to take place. Chains can begin to break. Cycles of addiction, poor mental health can be healed, and the kingdom of God will begin to see increase. That is very dangerous to the devil. And so just be aware that when you're walking in your purpose, using the gifts God's given to you, the enemy will want to come and knock your confidence. He'll want to discourage you. And it's not something to be feared because you have the word of God behind you. You have a name to call on that is far greater than that of any opposition. But it's something to be aware of, that he will come and he will do his very best to delegitimize what God has placed onto you. And this is where we really just need to push into his truth. The truth that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And that's so important to understand as we begin to offer our gifts to God. Know that God may come in the form of a course-correcting wind. He may come in a loving discipline. He might speak through the wisdom of a mentor to offer guidance. But he will not come and place fear in your heart. And so often, it will be when that dream is beginning to form. It'll be when you're about to step out and take big steps of faith. It'll be in the formational moments that the enemy's lies make themselves known. But in those moments, remember what God spoke in and let God's Spirit be your defender. So when you're at the beginning of stepping into something and you look to someone who's been developing their gifting for the last 10 years, don't let a spirit of fear get to you. Don't be crippled by comparison. Remember that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't compare your undeveloped gift to someone who's been submitting their gift to the will of God for a long time. Comparison will just rob you of your peace. And when that person that never really has anything nice to say tells you you're wasting your time, when they say that what you believe in God might do through you is unfeasible, remember, you were not given a spirit of fear. Remind yourself that greater is he who lives within you than he who is in the world. What the Spirit anoints, no man can stop. And when the resources are scarce, but your passion for the cause is still burning hot, trust in your provider. Wait on the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, think, or imagine. Put up your sail and wait for his guidance. Call on his provision. Have the humility to adjust course as he asks, but trust and hold on to his promises. So what are spiritual gifts for? They're to give you purpose, and they're to fulfill your purpose, which is also our purpose, to build the church. Offer them to him, and watch what he'll do through them and through you as you surrender your gifts into his hands. Would you stand as we pray? Father God, we just thank you that you have just immense care for us and for the things and that we're stepping out into in our lives. We thank you that we are not cookie cutter creations, but that you've made us so incredibly diverse and unique. And you've done so with purpose. You've done so for the building of your church, Lord. We thank you that that won't look the same for all of us, how we engage in that purpose, building your church. But we thank you that for each of us, you've given us what we need to play our part. And so, Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to provide clarity to us as we begin to step out and make bold steps in faith with the gifts that you've given to us, Lord. Would you show us the places that you would have us go and the people that you would have us influence with our giftings that you've so graciously given to us, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit, that it is one of guidance, that it is one of leading, that it is one that comes in gentleness and comes in power. We praise you. We want to worship you. We want to bless you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content, but thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.